Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 10, I believe, of the Talk of Trent Bridge podcast. Today, we're very lucky to have Tom Moores and the S&C Liam Price in the house. How are you doing, guys? You well?
We're good.
You still got your pads on, I can see. Tommy, you've been in the nets?
Yeah, I've been in the nets. Obviously, being indoors today, it's a bit of rain about. But yeah, just getting ready for Sunday. So exciting
time for the club, isn't it? Having done so well in the group stages, I think we all felt like we'd played cricket that deserved to be a home semi-final, and Samet's unbelievable knock, aided by yourself down at Northants, has given us that. Do you feel like the team has been playing as good a cricket as it sort of feels like from my point of view?
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously we've obviously only lost one game. So I think we've been playing great cricket, bat on ball. And so I definitely think, you know, we deserve the home semi that we've got, and obviously be against either Worcester or Somerset, both sides we beat before. So yeah, we'll be confident going into that the way we're playing, and hopefully turn them over.
Your form personally has been really good. I know you do enjoy hitting your big bombs and looking to try and clear the ropes. Is that something that you've particularly worked on? Obviously, you've got a taste of franchise cricket over the winter. Is that something that you've been looking to improve on?
Yeah, it's probably you don't have a defence, so I've got to try and find a way of doing something. Yeah, no, it's nice, obviously, contribute, and I was trying to just play my natural game, and it's pretty aggressive brand of cricket, but thankfully at the moment it's been coming off quite well, and just try and keep, you know, as long as I can contribute to wins for the lads, and that's what I'm trying to do. So yeah, it's been good fun.
Pricey, it's been certainly for me as a bowler, and I'm sure Tom behind the stumps doing a lot of work, a lot of squats and getting up and down to the stumps and stuff. It's quite tough on the boys' bodies, isn't it? Having played the game come thick and fast. I think at the start we played 5 games in 9 days, and then we've been a little bit lucky that we've had a couple of rained off towards the back end, so that the workloads haven't quite been as sort of aggressive the last sort of 3 games as they were. But is there anything that you do specifically to prepare the lads for that sort of challenge, or is it just putting the work in prior to the tournament coming around?
It's come pretty intense. I don't think, obviously, we have an expectation of the One Day Cup, and we all know that sort of T20 is the most intense form. But I think we got a real appreciation this way, the way they've put the fixtures together in the block. So we had, ideally, for us to get out of our group, we would have played 8 games in 17 days. So it's like just under, what, 1 every 3 days, something like that. So we're you can say lucky, probably not lucky, with the rain around at Grantham, and obviously sort of the reduced overs in Worcester. So that's a benefit of that's obviously the reduced workload. But I still think, you know, it's a tremendous amount of work the boys get through, and to have an appreciation for that. So yeah, definitely in the pre-season, and you know, it might seem a long way off when we're running up hills in Gotham and doing the triathlon in November and stuff, but if we can build the boys' capacities as high as possible, then when the demands of the game come, you know, hopefully you can reach in and you've got the capabilities to deal with that. I think that's obviously where we see injuries, when potentially unforeseen circumstances come in the game and we're not able or have the ability to deal with that physically. So yeah,
well, obviously you give the information to us as players that most people probably don't see it, but a lot of the bowlers and some of the fielders, actually, when we're out fielding, wear GPS units now, which track you probably know way more than I do, but I think it's more for that people might find interesting is like the distances that we cover and things like that, Liam.
Yeah, you know, obviously we have to have an understanding of objectively what's going on with the lads, and it's not just a guessing game. It's not just, right, you go and play 8 games in however many days and hopefully we get through it, or hopefully, you know, we've done enough. There's more to it than that. And I put out a stat the other day on Twitter, and obviously spoke to the boys and sent out to the boys. But so yeah, so Bally's One Day Summary, and you won't mind me sharing this, do you?
Nope.
So you played 6 Royal six Royal London one day games in 18 days. That's one, like we said, every sort of 3 days. And you bowled 44 in total out of possible 60. And those 44 overs are just purely match overs. So the GPS, we're very lucky from the ECB that they give us some software where we can tell the intensity of the overs bowled and the sort of load going through the player when they're bowling them. So these 44 overs are all at or over 100% match intensity. And we have to have a real appreciation that that takes some doing and that takes something out of the lads. So your total distance, Bawley, embarrassing, is nearly 46 miles in just under what? Just 18 days. So some doing. And then it's not just the actual total distance, the intensity that you bring to that. So notoriously, I think I definitely didn't have an appreciation without this objective data of the strains that you go through. So your max speed is like 30.8 kilometers an hour and you covered
fast.
You covered over 100 meters of 25 kilometers an hour plus, and over a kilometer nearly 8 kilometers in between 20 and 25 kilometers an hour. So it's if you're looking at that, to be able to do that game in, game out and repeat it, it's a tremendous effort. And it's
well done, Jake.
I wouldn't say it's just Jake. To be fair, I put quite a lot of work into that and planning my program. So
it's you could take a lot of credit for that.
That's the word I was looking for. Embarrassing.
Yeah, but certainly a lot of work goes into it, doesn't it? I don't think people, if you just come down and watch and see us sort of running around the field and all this sort of stuff, like the amount of stuff that goes in on behind the scenes.
100%. So if you have that sort of traditional view that cricket's this, you stand in a field for 50 overs and sort of have tea and cakes when you come off and then you go and knock it around a bit, it's so far away from the actual reality of what we do now. And I think, obviously definitely as a bowler, it's focused on and the strain and what you put in, but same as Tom as a keeper, the actual load, so we can monitor load, and the load going through a wicketkeeper is probably the highest out of any player on the pitch, and just the little, dive in and the impacts that he has, they're tremendous as well, and you have to take an understanding of that. So the more we can do with like regen and sort of in between games is probably the more important thing during this block. The physical work's done before, and then it's just about relaxing and trying to get yourself into a good position as possible to play in the next one.
Do you feel it's quite a strain on yourself, Tom? Obviously, so you've been batting quite a lot as well. Then to go out, it's not just. I don't think it's just physical, but I think as well mentally for you, in an extremely high pressure area, especially when you've got the likes of Cart and Mull and Samet, and you're up to the stumps and things like that. Does it take its toll mentally on you as well as physically?
Yeah, I think so. I think like anything, you're sort of a bit in the hot seat at times, and no one expects a keeper to make a mistake. I think that's one of the biggest things. So when you do, it's sort of, you feel like the whole world's watching you a little bit, and everyone's you've let the whole team down. So I think especially. You like we said, you watch bowlers put in the work that they do off the pitch, and you do all this stuff, and to create a chance, it might not come often. You just want to be in a position, and I try and that's what tries to keep me going through games. And sometimes you do find yourself, maybe a bit tired or lethargic, and that's where Pricey and Pipey are great. Obviously, trying
embarrassing,
trying to get obviously keepers. Just nice and energetic, behind the stumps and try and keep the lads going. And when, hopefully, obviously, that chance does come and you're there to take it, because you're not obviously taking it for yourself. You're taking it for not only the lads, also the bowler who's created that opportunity. So I think,
I think as well, you're talking about that sort of mental drain. After the most recent game, the Northants game with Samet's great knock, you have to have an appreciation of what, so sitting there and watching it, so Fletch and yourself and Pato and the boys, they came in the next day, they're absolutely shattered, they're absolutely knackered, and fair enough, that's because you've done 50 overs in the dirt and you're bowled and stuff, but also your heart rate's elevated through the excitement and the adrenaline of the game, being in close sort of competition with Northants, great team, and it's that whole thing of the emotional roller coaster. So if you think, we do a lot of monitoring physically, so seeing how the lads are physically and neuromuscular and all these sort of things, but we have to have a massive appreciation that mentally, if you have a big argument or you have a real big win or a close call, maybe a car pulls out of you, your heart rate elevates. So I think definitely after these big games, you have to have a period of time to come back down. And, you know, you might not get the best night's sleep that night of the game. And that's why it's been really nice for the running up to the semi, not having to play a quarter on the Friday night, being able to bring it down, recover fully, rest up and let the emotions settle a bit.
Yeah, I think a great example of that one was the Lanx game here, the very first game we played in this competition. Obviously, it was a very sort of emotionally draining game, having scored, what did you get, 420 or whatever it was, and then for them to get so close. I think most people would expect when we walk off the field, everyone to be buzzing and sort of like buzzing around in the dressing room. But I remember just sort of going up there and just sitting in my spot and just be like, I can't play eight games of that, because it's just so mentally and physically draining. Luckily, all games haven't been that tight and you know, sort of gone down to the wire. So that's been been quite lucky for us. But like you say, I think the mental side of it is a massive thing. Obviously, I think looking this tournament, but I think this tournament having come so soon in the year, we've only played two championship games up until now. The impact of what this tournament could have going into the rest of the season, and we play the semi-final, then we go straight into two championship games. Before then, we play the final, hopefully on the 25th. What sort of Tom, for your perspective, what impact do you think winning, having silverware in the cabinet at the end of May could have an impact on our rest of our season?
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously confidence-wise, it could be massive. You know, if you've got already one trophy in the cabinet, you know, as a team, you just, you know, you've got that lift. You're buzzing. You know, we talk about the fatigue and stuff that comes with that, but I've always felt personally, and I know obviously a lot of the other lads would be the same, and Jake, you'll probably agree that when things are going well, you don't feel it as much, and yeah, exactly. You know, when you're winning and stuff like that, and you're bowling well, batting well, you know, it masks the pain. You know, when you have tough times, which everyone does in the season, that's when you feel the little niggles, you feel the long days, it's harder to get out of bed sometimes, and you feel a bit lethargic. So I think to have that silverware in there, you know, going into a long batch of championship games will be a great sort of booster for the lads. You know, we'll come, there'll be a massive high, and like Pricey said, you know, you probably, everyone's gonna have to come down from that probably a little bit if we get there, and you know, but I think we'll take that confidence into our championship games, whatever happens, knowing that, you know, even for them too, before the Lord's final, hopefully getting through the semi, that, you know, we'll be massively up for, you know, we're going to have a Lord's final in a few weeks, which will take us through those two games, and then obviously after that, hopefully we've got a bit of silverware, and that will take us all the way through to the T20s.
Yeah, well, that's the dream, isn't it? I think, yeah. Like you say, it's a block of eight championship games now, and it's obviously a really important stage of the year leading up into the T20s. Liam, is there any, like, obviously you do a lot of your work through the winter. Do you have to sort of pick and choose when you do your work with the lads during the summer? Is there a lot of lifting, or is it? Do you sort of try and tailor your stuff to maybe injuries or injury prevention and things like that?
I think cricket's a strange one. It's a rogue sport, because any other field sport, any other team sport, rugby, football, you have the whole week to prep up. So you prep up, you come in, you know, you might play Saturday, you have Sunday off, you prep up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, boom, perform, have a week off, and it goes like that. And we know, well, you know, if you're working in that sport, you know exactly what's going to go on in that game. You know exactly right. If this player plays 60 minutes, 45 minutes, 90 minutes, this is the stresses that they're going to enjoy. Cricket, absolutely rogue, because I could have something planned out for Tom. Tom could go on and score 150 and spend loads of time out in the middle, cover, 10 kilometres, whatever it is, loads of sprints, loads of high-speed running, and just be completely shattered when he comes off. On the other hand, he could go off, nick off first ball, and then have 8 hours of the day to do absolutely nothing.
More likely.
Thank you, Tom.
So to plan it, you obviously have a plan, but, you know, when, I think there's a quote like, when the Colonels planned D-Day,
yeah,
they didn't expect it to go off the way it did, didn't it?
Yeah.
So you always have to have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. Yeah. And you try and align those plans as closely to plan A as possible. But then you just take down the stress that you place on the person. So for example, I could have a plan A, right, I want him to lift this, I want him to do this. Because everything we do always has the same purpose. Like we might lift weights or we might run, but the purpose of it's always the same. It's always get better at cricket or stay on the park so you can perform and express yourself at cricket. So it's always got the same purpose, but it's just differences. So plan A might be, you know, a real heavy strength session to create the robustness of the player, and then some high speed running or whatever it is. That's just an example. But if he goes and scores 30, right, he's played for about an hour, he's had this amount of stress put on him, we need to wind it back a bit. So what's he actually done? What's he experienced from being out there? What's he had exposure to? Right, he's had exposure to this, this and this. Right, we can just place this on him. And then if he goes out and scores big, right, we just need to help him recover, regenerate, whether that's letting him chill out, listen to his music, getting him some soft tissue work, or hopping in the pool, hopping in the hot tub. And it's just judgment call. So you obviously have things planned out, but you obviously have plans to back that up with.
I think as well, it's like a lot of the stuff, like for me personally, that I've done with Pricey, you know, we spoke about different players' games and, you know, obviously I'm saying, you know, how I like to play quite aggressive brand of cricket. And you know, the work I've done with Pricey in the gym and stuff like that is definitely, it's like tailored around that sort of stuff, because he knows the way I want to play my cricket. That'll be different to Slats, that'll be different to Clarkey, but, you know, they're all equally as effective. And I think, you know, I try and do a lot of, Pricey helps along with doing a lot of what would you say it was, Liam? Like fast reactive stuff.
Yeah, so you're obviously an explosive player. So we'll try and, he's got to obviously have foundations to build that on. But naturally, he does what he does. So with Tom, he's not one that, right, we have to try and help him clear the rope. We just have to protect Tom from Tom. Like, if we can make him more robust so he can hit more balls over the rope, perfect. Because he does what he does so well. So it's just one of them ones. And then potentially, if there's things that he does need to work on, we work on them. But yeah, it's definitely an individual for each one.
Give me some great answers today, Liam.
I'm pretty clever, if I'm
bang
honest.
On it. Bang on.
I don't show it too much. But
you're actually a very knowledgeable man.
Got it going on up there as well as
down there.
Yeah.
So upstairs for thinking, downstairs for dancing is what my dad always says. Tom, we touched on it a little bit earlier about your sort of experiences with franchise cricket over the winter. Is there anything you picked up while I was away that you've changed, brought back to your game since you've been back in England?
Yeah, I think a lot. I think, you know, I've always liked to play quite, like I said, quite a high risk game of cricket. You know, it is a lot of high reward but high risk, and I think, like a bit like Pricey just said, you know, sometimes playing that game you can get in the way of yourself, and you almost sort of double question. You know, you're going for the biggest reward there is as a batter, which is obviously a six. But, you know, if you get in the way of yourself, you're thinking of the consequences too much, it might not allow you, and it sort of creates that grey area in between. So one of the biggest things I learnt from going away and watching some of the best ball strikers in the world, you know, they're so clear, and so the belief they have to clear the ropes is, it's just phenomenal. They don't even think about, you know, the modern game now. You put a fielder there, they're not interested, you know, I'll hit it over them sort of thing. So that, you know, it's a high risk way of playing, but, you know, and it's for the right moments of the game. You can't just go out and play like that all the time. And like we said, the Champo stuff brings a different ball game. But I think definitely for the white ball cricket, that's franchise cricket taught me, you know, watching the likes of, you know, Andre Russell and stuff like that, the way he hits a ball. I know he's three times the size of me, and
he's a freak,
but he does, the way his mind and how simple his cricket is, you know, I learned a lot from watching him, and luckily to have him in my team at the PSL, chatting to him, and he just said, you know, he has his theories of, has a look at a few, and then pretty much he's pretty clear, and if it's up there, it's off, and if it's short, it's off, and if it's anywhere else, it's off. So
struggled against Rory Kleinveld, though, didn't he, in 2016?
Yeah. So basically tries it every ball.
Basically, so I think that's it.
Similar, then, aren't we, me? All right, we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on to, you've obviously been listening to my podcast.
Cricket 11.
No, I'm not doing Cricket 11, man. We're gonna do guess the player.
Oh, I'm good at this, I reckon.
Or member of staff. I changed it because I use picky once, so I use member of staff. So, right, I give you this person's bowling average. Oh no, I'm on batting average there. Oh yeah, sorry. This person's list day bowling average is 28.8 with an economy of 5.6.
That's very good, isn't it?
That is very good. His T20 bowling is an average of 34.4 with an economy of 8.6. His first class batting average is 27.9.
I think I've got it.
You do not have it.
I think I've got it.
Do you want to confer?
Can I not guess and then he guess and you tell us who's right?
Well, yeah, go and have a guess.
Jimmy Pattinson.
No, it's not.
I'm going for... Luke Fletcher.
No.
That's like too high.
He's played. He's played 50 T20 matches and 184 List A matches.
So it's been about more.
No.
He's
why say no?
Because it's not him.
Right. No, because batting average.
But you said it was like his way off. That's a sensible answer.
Batting average would be a lot higher than that, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
More yeah, more batting average would be a lot higher. Think, Liam. Upstairs think. For thinking, downstairs for dancing. All right, then this definitely will give it away. He's played one ODI.
Pike. I said that at the start. I said that was my first answer.
I don't think you did,
Paul
mate.
Franks.
No,
Paul
you
Frank,
didn't.
Didn't I say Paul Franks?
Did you say it over the microphone?
No, you didn't.
I conferred to him and he was like,
"No, I wrote it off. Sorry, Franksy."
And then I couldn't give you any more stats.
He said he was too old. He said he's too old, and I was like,
I was thinking because of T20.
Pike's not too old.
I know when Pike played that ODI as well at Trent Bridge.
Should have got that.
You should have got that.
Yeah, it's average. It's average for me.
I probably.
He got 400s and 41 50s.
Where did Pike used to bat?
What highest? Pike's batted everywhere, hasn't he? Yeah. He opened and batted all over the shop.
Yeah.
Highest score of 123, not out.
Should have got that.
Well done, Pike. Well batted, sir.
Well done,
okay.
Pike.
All right, we're going to wrap things up.
Let's move on then. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up with my little advice section towards the end. So this is to like a boy or a girl playing at their local. Local club, little nugget of advice from both of you that could potentially sort of change the way. Why are you looking like that for?
Well, what am I going to give advice on to be better at cricket as a kid?
So yeah, you could, Liam, you could genuinely offer somebody something really important. I think the adolescent years, as it were, really important for anybody growing up as a budding sports person. So we'll start with you. Come on.
Do you want a philosophical answer or do you want a proper like serious answer.
I want a proper serious answer.
So if you want to be good at cricket, play loads of sports. So as a kid, play loads of sports because you see kids that specialise too early on. So like me, I specialised play rugby when I was younger. I was quite big, like tall.
Still are quite big.
Mostly. you play a sport that you're really good at when you're young. You dominate, and then you come to other sports and you're uncoordinated and you've got no Scooby. What's going on? So you look at me. I know I'm a pretty good goalkeeper. Hand-eye, rubbish.
Yeah.
So play as many sports as possible. Don't specialise early on.
Thank you, Liam.
Thank you, Liam. Come on then, Tom. You wrap us up here.
Yeah, I reckon for anyone out there, I reckon just be expressive. Express yourself. Don't try and force. You know, you can overcoach too young. I think, you know, we look at all, especially a lot of players in our team, Jake Yule, you'll vouch for this. I was the same, you know, late developers, people who come through and, you know, you're not being overcoached. You've got natural ability. So, you know, obviously be all ears and be a bit of a sponge. But I think, you know, always let your natural instinct take over, whether it's with bat and ball. You know, if you've got a bit of a different action as a bowler, you know, that could be vital for when you're older. You look at all the, you know, tough actions to pick now. You know, that's what people are looking for. You don't have to be, you know, textbook action, textbook batting technique. It's not what it's about.
If you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain.
Thank you.
What a beautiful way to end the podcast. Yeah. Thanks for coming in, guys. I've really enjoyed this one, Liam, listening to you rabbit on and Morsey. It's been really good to have you in. If you guys have enjoyed listening to the podcast, then please do leave comments on all forms of social media with the hashtag Talk of Trent Bridge as Tom wax his nose on the microphone. But yeah, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you soon.